He's like the guy who made like the green, the red blue eyed in all ages ago.
Yep.
But we can chat about that. Oh, you got a haircut. Oh, and a mustache. Dude, can you keep? Oh, wait, it's Steve. And Mike. You have, what the hell? You have mustaches.
Trying to be like you, baby.
Oh my god, that's fucking epic.
Just trend setting.
Wait, can you guys keep them? They all look really good.
They don't.
Mike's, Steve, yours look good. Mike's, yours looks good.
I work with children. Can't have that.
Justin, yours looks good. Can you guys please keep them for a little bit?
I will keep them for about 45 minutes.
I went out to eat last night. After the tournament, I'm sitting at the bar, and these girls across the way are kind of looking over this way, and I'm like, interesting. And then I'm like, oh, wait, they're probably staring at my mustache.
Wait, you had it yesterday?
Yeah.
What? Oh, my God. Justin, yours looks better than I thought it would. With the
waiter's hat? Last second. I shaved at, like, 11:45 last night. I don't know what I'm going to do. I also hate my face without, like, a beard, so I'm kind
of... Dude,
like,
I love
Yeah, I don't know the last time you didn't have a beard. You've had a beard for
me. Henry's never seen me, so at least...
This is insane. I wish you had recorded my live thing.
Oh, we are recording. I did record
that. Yeah. Oh, sick.
Yeah, it was all planned. We had it.
We got to save that. Yeah, holy shit.
Oh, I recorded it for the podcast. Oh my god.
Dude, I don't know. I was up past my bedtime last night and now I'm
Yeah, what time was that?
Like 10.
Okay. Hey, welcome back. It's your boy Bobby Sapphire. We are podcasting now. We did our big mustache reveal. If you didn't understand what was going on, that's what happened. Check out our YouTube channel where all four of us have mustaches now. Justin, how are you feeling about your mustache life?
So I hated it, but after looking at my face on this Discord call for about 5 minutes, maybe I'll keep it.
You, like, you look very stereotypically middle-aged Indian. Like, you look like what a characteristic, like a caricature would be in a lot of ways. Like, when you're smiling, it just comes funny. I can't look at myself.
Do you want potato?
Yeah, have potato. Exactly. I tried to make that as least racist as possible. But, like, I can't see myself because you guys are off on a different screen, so I'm glad I'm not going to appreciate looking at myself and not get used to it. Because
There's a picture of Uncle and Dad with, and, like, your mustache is just right there.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I felt it as it was happening. What's up, Matthew? How did you feel?
Like the guy from Top Gun, the like leader general guy
from the first Top Gun.
Guy from Mad Men?
No, I'll try to find it. Keep going with
it. All right, you find it.
What's up?
Dude, I was mid coffee when I saw Steve and I was like, wait, and then it panned to everyone's faces and I lost my mind. So that was really cool. So.
I
yeah, man.
Put a mustache on Grogu back there.
Oh yeah, Grogu stash.
That'd Steve, least likely to keep his mustache.
Yeah, this thing's going away.
It looks good.
I made the mistake of shaving and doing everything yesterday afternoon, not anticipating doing anything last night. And then not only did I go to a draft, but I also went to a bar afterwards, and like I didn't realize I had the mustache, and I was just looking like a fool.
Yeah.
Oh man, you're killing it.
All right, well, we have a lot to talk about today, so we're going to try and keep it moving. We're going to say goodbye to set one. I don't think any of us have any set one events. You guys aren't driving up to New Hampshire next weekend. I take it they're pretty far north. I guess, like, we'll still draft set one since we like that. We also have to see if they're going to draft set one with set two ever, or if we want to try that and see how it is. I'm going to talk about product issues, our early set two testing, recent spoilers, we'll play Good, Bad, Broken again, and answer a couple Patreon questions. We'll and then early set two deck. So the next time we record, it will be right before pre-release weekend of set two. So we'll have the full set spoiled, and we'll just be fully in set two mode. So that's why we're saying goodbye to set one. Right now, if you still have store showdowns and you're in our Patreon, like, we'll still be there helping you grinding. But for the podcast,
like, I just,
we're moving on.
Yeah. Like, I just posted my updated Vader deck that I did well with yesterday. Like, you know.
Yeah congrats on the top four, Maddie. Nice work.
Thanks. Congrats on the top four store showdown. Steve won a draft, his third straight draft that he won.
Yes, sir.
And Steve and I have a draft video coming out on Tuesday, so we'll still have some set one content and start easing over to set two, but for the most part, we're going to start moving over to set two. Oh, Steve, here's your draft, your winning draft from yesterday. Yeah, I didn't realize it was best of one draft. You said you liked best of one fine?
Yeah, I like best of one because it's quick. It's easy, you know?
I mean, your whole draft took 2 hours, which is nuts.
Yeah, that's
I think
crazy.
I was in and out 2.5 hours, draft plus 3 best of one games, and then at a bar. Like, it doesn't get much better than that.
So you said that our video together that's coming out Tuesday was kind of in your head. I don't want to, like, give away the whole video, but what exactly?
Yeah, don't spoil it. I'll do a separate little deck tech on this that we can ship out to the Patreon where I can kind of dig deeper into that. But basically all the things I was correcting you with in your draft, I was like, oh, maybe I was wrong. Or like, maybe I shouldn't be doing this. And then I just completely didn't listen to myself.
Gotcha. And how did those five drop super right. laser techs work out?
Well, that's like the basis of the issue with what I was drafting yesterday. I mean, I just laid them as resources. It was weird draft because it was only 6 people.
Yeah.
And 4 of them were villain. And I had villain on my left and right, I think.
Yeah.
But either way, but I was the only blue.
My blue stuff is obviously nuts. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. My playables weren't super. I didn't have a lot of playables, but the playables that I did have were fire. So, like, most mm-hmm. of those cards I just resourced. I didn't end up actually playing anything off aspect. And especially with the 2-drop TIE Fighter, it really smoothed out all my draws in that regard.
I just love the 8-drop Gorilla Attack Pod, which, like, I specifically called out in our video as, like, a joke. When I was like, I guess I might play this 8-drop Gorilla Attack video, lol.
I mean, you know, we did a draft on Tuesday and like we had, you know, 2-6 people or whatever pods. And like, it's not a lot of cards, you know, like you have to kind of get a little creative on these like more casual, short drafts.
Yeah. And as we've seen with this game, not everything's like a Pro Tour level event. So like we're kind of just scrapping and clawing at what we can.
Strike true for 5 is good though.
No, I agree. I think if you draw it early, you resource it. And if not, like maybe use it.
Yeah, in all my games, I never played anything off aspect. And the other thing that actually worked out well was J-Rod was actually green Chewy, and his deck was pretty strong. But there were so many packs that I had that didn't have an actual playable in my color. Mm-hmm. So I just was scooping up all the good hero cards. So like I had 2 of the arcs. I had another of the X-Wing, the forces with me. Like, I probably hate drafted about 8 good, like, blue-green Chewies, and otherwise that would have just – his deck would have just been broken.
Yeah, because at least you can, like, splash those if you really get short. You know, like, a four cost 2-3 in space on, like, a short draft isn't the end of the world.
Yeah.
Also, one card that I
– when you do have those smaller drafts – and like assuming you're playing to actually 3-0, knowing who's playing what leader and where they're situated at, it really increases your ability to hate draft certain cards and certain against certain archetypes. So while your deck might not be like a 9 power deck out of 10 or whatever, you're increasing the I don't know what I'm trying to say here. Well, I do, but I can't get the words out.
That's okay. Are you saying
you're
like
your decks worse?
Exactly. Right. You're relative to the draft you're in,
and you're just playing decks. Exactly. You're playing certain cards as lands.
Yeah.
Like, and we do that even in constructed when it's like, oh well, I'm never going to use this card in this match. Like, I'm never going to play this Avenger this game, so I'm auto resourcing it.
Yeah.
In game,
which
one.
Is fine.
So, like, right. It's important to like have those cards that you know you need to resource. So like that's just part of it.
That's my only thing, and obviously, like, they're local, so it's not the end of the world, but, like, when you have to play cross-pod, it's like, oh, like, my deck is in the context of the draftman, but, you know, beggars can't be choosers.
Yep.
Did you see any Karabass? Because that's one card, like, I kind of slept on, but it's, like, pretty good out of aspect, actually.
I hated a Karabass.
Yeah.
I didn't play it. Maybe I probably should have. I mean, I took I had some bad picks at some point, mostly because of that video. Like, I took a super laser technician over an Imperial Interceptor at one point, just to give you a little perspective of where my head was at.
My lord.
So yes. You were just like, Mike was wrong. I'm going to do it the right way, and then came up with this.
Hey, no, you know I basically did it your way.
I gotta but give I you a lot of credit, the
interceptor.
Though. Yeah,
maybe I don't know what I was.
He's owning his drafted. Mistake. He could have said, you know, it was the only card I could take. Yeah. So, respect.
True. Oh no, dude, I screw up all the time. I have no problem admitting it.
All right. Same. So, one of the things I wanted to do, actually, I thought I had this next, but whatever. We can actually, yeah, I do want to talk about the product thing next. So I'll go back to that slide. Product shortages, reactions. What do you guys think about this? Is it a
$1,000 showcase? Holy shnikes, or whatever called booster case.
It's absurd. Like, you know, I have no problem with secondary market markups. Like, people invest, they speculate all the time. We did it in Magic. But, like, when I go into my local store trying to find draft packs so we can draft after our dinner, and the owner of the store wants $12 a pack. Like, that ain't cool.
Yeah, I don't know how stores with Asmodee accounts can get away with that. I guess if they bought it secondary, they have to make a profit on it. But if they got it direct from Asmodee at, like, their $70 cost and they're selling it for double,
yeah,
it is tough when there's a MSRP and things are going above it. But I know, like, does a primary market need to exist? Like, can it be – like, can everything be – like the secondary market? Like, I've gone into stores, like hobby stores, and they don't have prices on anything, and they just look up prices whenever you want to buy it, so the prices are always current. But I don't know. I mean, stores need to make money.
Yeah.
And I think
all the packs kind of whack, though.
Nah, I agree. But, like,
if there's only a secondary market, then everyone should have access to the distributor. Mm.
Right. And that's what usually you can do through FFG. Like, you can buy things at MSRP through the FFG store usually. That's like, there was that email. I guess the way this came out is like a bunch of people ordered from FFG direct and then they got their orders canceled.
Oh, right.
And that's what kind of put us in this position of why we're talking about on the podcast. But like, if we could order at MSRP from FFG, then yeah, there wouldn't be a secondary market. It's the fact that everything ran out. So like, should stores charge more?
Let me ask you a question though. What is the MSRP?
I think it's 119 a box.
119 for a booster box.
If that's the case, then like with set one, how was I able to buy all those boxes from Game Nerds for $88?
Because
well, they probably
Game
got
Nerds
them for like
gets them for 60. 70. Oh,
okay.
Okay, that's. I guess that's the question I was asking.
Yeah.
Wholesale is like 73 or something.
Right.
Maybe even cheaper if you buy more. Like, I don't have all the details on what Asmodee charges stores, but I know it's the low 70 range.
Yeah, so I guess like in your theory about saying, you know, if there's only a secondary market, then what I said was wrong. Like, everyone should have access to the wholesale price then. Because what's the advantage of, like, the advantage of a card store being able to buy a wholesale price means they're able to fuel the community and build this game up. But when they're charging secondary prices, all it's doing is stunting the growth of the game.
Right, and that's why I think, like, yeah. I don't know that they're ever going to give it away for wholesale prices because FFG would want to make money, but I do think, like, if FFG just made enough and we could get it from FFG Direct, we wouldn't be in this problem, which I guess, like,
is just the bottom. Yeah, there has to be some kind of, like, trigger where, like, okay, I'm going to buy, you know, 14 cases. Okay, you can get the wholesale price.
Someone,
I will say this, though. Shout out to Gaia's Cradle in East Providence, Rhode Island. The owner was legit. He had a bunch of extra packs after the draft, sold them all to me, so we can draft next week, guys.
Yeah, shout out to them. I definitely want to make
that's
it
awesome.
Online. I also heard that Untapped in Rhode Island is doing like the $600 case. So I got to call them up. They don't have pre-orders on their site. But someone was telling me that yesterday. So I guess like Rhode Island is the place to be for buying.
Yeah.
For buying
it's just packs. Like the one thing about the guy selling $12 packs, like there's a reason we won't go there. You know what I mean? Like if he wants to screw over his own business, like that's on him. It just stinks that like.
Yeah. My only caveat to
he
that
has
is
the
like,
product that we can't get.
If he paid $200 for the box secondary and just so
then
people
yeah,
could buy packs. Like, and like, we just don't know if that's the case, but if he got it for 70 and he's selling them.
I can
for 12,
probably
like,
say with, 95% certainty that is not the case.
All right. Well,
just because of your other interactions, we won't go into it. Yet.
Yeah, that
I think
that's too bad.
I think one thing that's going to be a little interesting is like for set one, obviously it ran out and there was this huge demand, but there it was on hand for the first 3 or 4 weeks. Like you could go into stores and just like buy a box for 120. I remember actually like going in and being like, oh, 120, that seems like a lot. Like the first couple of days. And based upon how set two, like people buying set two based upon how set one ran out, like will people actually be like clearing out the shelves in the first weekend and then people can't get the stuff at all moving forward? So like, will this shortage sort of get accelerated? And just like everyone's doing pre-orders, but like, will the larger stores just have boxes to buy like without the pre-orders? Will there be like reserves for people to walk in off the street and be like, okay, I want to buy my kid a box, or I want to buy like a case, like you know what I mean, like that type of thing, to get their decks going? Because there will be summer tournaments too. Like I always feel like summer is when tournaments kind of are at their max with like just people running them, and then you're dealing with, we're talking about set two decks later on, but like there's some really powerful cards out there, so like people don't actually have access to them.
Yeah.
All right. Here's my nuclear set two take. Based on everything that's been spoiled, like I don't even want to buy boxes. Like
there's a couple goofy legendaries.
There's a bunch of bad legendaries, and like I'll say like I know I'm playing at Gen Con, which is less than a month or exactly a month after the pre-release, so less than a month after release. It's very early, but every deck I play, I'm like, this is just gonna get gatekept by like a honed Boba, or like a honed Sabine, and like if this is the way the packs are going, I'd rather just like save my boxes for draft so we don't run into this problem again. Order three Poes, and order like whatever uncommons that I need for Boba Fett, and be like, all right, at least at Gen Con, I'll just play Sabine and Boba and not really think, like not really worry about putting together a collection, because like we'll talk about some of the spoilers coming out, but I'm not super impressed by these legendaries.
And yeah, the rares are great.
Yeah, the rares are great, but yeah, they're just not going to...
They'll be cheap,
Right, and we saw some $20 rares in set one, so like there could be some, you know, higher-end rares, but it's not going to be... Like, it doesn't look like I have to spend $80 on any cards this set. Even Poe is not going to be in that many decks, I think. Right. It's obviously very early.
There's obviously a half a set or like 100 cards, but yeah, I agree. I think if you don't want to buy a bunch of boxes or whatever, I think this is the set to just get singles, honestly, and get them right away. Because we've seen like on TCG Player, there are people who are just going to open packs and want to recoup their investment, and you're going to get the best prices.
Yeah, I mean, so, that's what I did for set one. I think that's the move for set two. I mean, I bought my Vaders for $40. I bought my Lukes for $30. I bought my Bobas for $20. Like, I'm very happy with what I did.
I'm not opening 9 boxes of this set.
Yeah, please.
But next week we can do a. And I remember we owe Maddie a box. God damn. We should
that's
do
set
this.
Two,
right, but we should do the price. Contest again.
Oh, please no.
Oh, no, please don't. But, no.
I mean, maybe another kind of contest.
No, it means Mike has to do a math game. It's the best just for that.
All right, fine. It'd be even funnier if you made me set it up and then we're like, all right, we don't want to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't. I want to retire on top.
I didn't do that badly, and I learned a new thing about Excel. So
that's cool.
For an English teacher, I think I'd handled it. Okay. All right. I want to start to say goodbye to set one. I picked the leaders that I thought most represented the meta at the most times of set one. Although I think like the Chirrut bottom middle is like the most questionable. That's the one we could kind of like argue, but I had to make a slide. So I just made a call. It was like Chirrut or, maybe Palpatine, but if someone had an idea, but these were the 9, I think, were played with the most frequency. Like if you went to a local, these were the ones you were seeing. I didn't see a lot of Palpatine local. I'm sure like it had its champions. I know it had its champions.
Yeah.
But this felt like if you went to an event, you were going to see these.
Guaranteed.
Seems right. Yeah.
So as we say, like, I don't know, what were your, like, what was successful about the game set one? I don't want to talk about like the product or FFG or anything anymore. I just mean like on the table, what was successful? What do you think the number one leader out of these were? And, like, I guess, like, looking back, what was your favorite leader or favorite thing about set one?
I really liked that it continued even now to shift weekly in terms of like what you could play and what maybe was the correct deck to play.
Yep.
How like you could continue to evolve. I think early on we were like, okay, it's set one, like things might get stagnant. The card pool is really small, obviously, with one set. And like there was that first UK event where it was like eight Bobas in the top eight, and it was sort of, and that was one of the first big events. So it was like, okay, is it just going to be like Boba's the best deck, hands down? And it wasn't that, right? Like Boba still did tremendously all summer, but like there was the Florida event where like the Vader deck did well, and the Sabines realized that they could beat Bobas with a certain game plan, and then the Bobas sort of swung back with things, with new cards being added. So like lists shifted throughout, and people, you know, like a good example is like the blue Boba Fett. Like that's something that wasn't a deck at all. Yeah. And then it became a deck, what, like a month ago? And people have continued to evolve. So I think that's really neat. And I think with set two, it's going to be magnified because now you'll have like some of the forgotten set one archetypes might come back with like a high powered set two flavor, but not necessarily on like the first week, right? Like maybe it'll be like, okay, people look at Gen Con deck lists or something, and then like at the end of August, all of a sudden there's like new technology. So
everyone's playing Cad Bane and they forget about Boba, and then he makes a resurgence. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and that's gonna be exacerbated by the fact that we're gonna have 36 leaders. Like it's gonna be impossible to incorporate everything.
Yeah.
So and it's like, exciting to like go to tournaments with that concept, because it's like if you actually like book travel to go to something that's like big, as we've seen bigger tournaments in the fall, you can actually like try to like get ahead of the meta with your friends and like listen to your favorite podcast to get some strategy and stuff like that.
I was really happy with the leaders. I thought there was like a good diversity of, you know, like play styles within them. I still think Boba as a 4/7 that comes out on 5 like is stupid. I think he should have 6 booty. I think it would be way more dynamic. Like I still think he's the best leader.
Agreed.
Like I think people do that, you know, that magic article, the cascading thing that you linked to our team forever ago. Like people do that so much in this game where it's like, oh, because you know, it's fun to try something new, right? And so like our showdown yesterday, Boba Green took it all. You know what I mean? Like it's still a really good deck. And he's a 4/7. If you don't have a plan to deal with a 4/7 on 5 resources, you can follow
especially when they come out a turn early.
Yeah.
Right.
When they have eight resources on that turn as well.
Yeah.
I think it's really cool that the two of the arguably the best leaders are commons. Like the leader rarity is like more of a like maybe for draft. Like any leader can be good, which I think is
cool. Yeah, it feels like it's a draft thing because even like the rare leaders in terms of acquiring them are very easy to
get. Yeah, I was gonna say the same thing. Like the nature of
it's definitely it being limited.
Rare is like this is my stack of just rare leaders, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll say this. I'm hoping this time next set we get Chewie up on that screen, get some more Wookiees, get a nice little theme going there.
Could we see Chewie's one close. More? Well, could we see another Wookiee leader? There's obviously a Wookiee sub-theme. But they gave us
Tarful. Oh, that'd be wild. I didn't think
that. So I wonder who would even be the Wookiee leader. I guess they could just make
it. I feel like set 3 go. They'll do it.
I don't know. I think set like, two this has is enough. Like the... We have a blue hero left, right?
Oh, okay. I was going to say, like, my thing is, like, maybe it's, like, you know, we saw a little bit of Underworld and a little bit of Mando in set one, and then it comes in set two. I was thinking, like, this is the undercurrent, and then they hit us with the wave in the next set is my, like, theory.
Yeah, but they may. If they're just building for draft and they have all this Wookiee sub-theme, I would imagine that they want a Wookiee leader.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of what the Wookiee leader was in Legion that, like, you know, a lot of times they draw from the other games when they're making this stuff. But anyway.
Chewie will get better, though. Like, I mean, the more 2 and 3 drops that come out, the better he gets.
Yeah, for sure. And there's the, like, they made that 2-drop 3/3 Wookiee, which is probably pretty good for him in just, like, all facets of, like, doing a lot of damage when it comes out. I think just the balance of set one is my favorite thing. Like, sort of like what Justin said, you could play something new all the time, and like you could play just about any deck and have it be competitive. Like you can go to your local and like X1 with basically any deck.
Yeah.
Which is also is pretty like, much unheard of with the power level of some of these leaders.
Yeah. I was going to say also like, you know, I played Command Center Vader yesterday. Like that is a starter deck. Like I think they crushed it with that one in particular of like, here is a deck you can take and upgrade and like you can go and, you know, compete for a showdown. Like,
you should that compare that to the upgrade rad. Your starter deck video you made like
yeah.
2 months ago or whatever to see like how yeah. close you came.
Oh yeah, I mean, yeah, different different meta, but yeah, it's kind of cool.
All right, well, fare thee well. Do you guys have a call out? What you think the best was? Was it just Boba? Overall, yeah. pound yeah. for pound. All the other.
I think Boba. I was
triggered ability, early deploy, best stats.
Yep.
Yeah, he set the tone. Like this, yeah. my Sabine. I liked the Sabine deck, but it was like, okay, I think I have a plan to beat Boba with it, yeah. that I feel comfortable with. Like it all was grounded there.
Yeah, you're right. Every Boba single conversation begins and ends with, but can this deck beat Boba?
Yeah. Right.
Or
and like
you know, in hopes yeah. that no one will play it.
The fact that there were like also just really quick, like you could play any color Boba and it would be good because of like how good his ability and his deploy is versus like other decks sometimes like have a good card pool and that kind of does it. Whereas like Boba is just straight good. So like,
and
yeah,
he
sure.
Has
like
yeah. Bossk and Cantina Bouncer on right. his flip curve that trigger his ability yeah. for you. And just yeah. It's almost like it builds itself. Everything else yeah. you have to work a little bit harder to build, but
even
his
a lackey
builds itself. Yeah, or yeah, yeah. or lackey, right?
Yeah, more of those guys because they're in any deck,
right?
Mm-hmm. All right, guys.
Let's talk about Ooh. Set two spoilers since the last 2 weeks. So I went back 2 weeks and just pulled what I thought were like interesting ones to talk about. Starting out with Gar Saxon. Who's a 4/7 Mandalorian Imperial official. I didn't realize he was Imperial. That's cool.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. he gives, for both sides, he gives a friendly upgraded unit +1/+0. And then when he's a unit, you can return upgrades that were attached to this unit to its owner's hand if he's defeated. So you can kind of like go all in on upgrades on him and not worry about losing your card advantage. You're only losing action and resource advantage.
If you haven't watched it yet, go watch my Gar Saxon video. Shout out to Justin for like bringing up that shield.deck idea, and I kind of like ran with it.
Yeah, and you played this guy against me, Matt, and like completely overran me with 7th Fleet Defenders in Space.
And it was cool because like you played Bossk too. Like it wasn't like you weren't prepared for the shields. Like you pinged him off. You know what I mean? So that was like probably the hardest matchup to kind of run it into.
Yeah, we'll talk about it in a second, but like I played against Wu playing Cad Bane, and that was way harder because his pings were just free. They weren't like
right
and every turn, which made it
way
tougher.
I think good for sure. Not broken. I don't think his ability really makes sense to be broken. You know, I think could be good. I don't think he's bad. I think the shield concept and like upgrades in general, like anything going on a guide, it's giving that extra plus is powerful. Go back to the +1/+0, like I think that's a really strong ability. I made the Boba video, the Hero Boba video, based upon that. Like those little abilities, you look at a card like Red 3, it's so powerful, and oftentimes it's like maybe triggering one card or two cards per game, but it's like a must kill. So being able to buff all these units and then you know, his ability, and he's got like good, he comes out a little late, but he's got solid stats. It's a bit ambiguous on like which direction you can play with him. Like you could do the upgrade version, but you could also do like, well, you could do like the shield version, but you could also just play like 12 upgrade cards in your deck if you really want that sort of more of like a fanboy fun type of thing.
Yeah.
And it's unclear what color combination to go with him too.
You could go green really and play those in Imperial stuff.
Yeah, and there's a lot of like give an experience token in green, which is really good.
Right,
I think like what makes him better is that there's so many, this game is designed uniquely that there's so many guys, units who come into play already upgraded, which like makes this kind of ability have a lot of potential.
Yeah.
So that's what I like most about it. It's just like, you know, having those guys who come in shielded or having there's a bunch of like the 2-drop Imperial ship that gives an experience token to another thing. All that stuff. I can imagine like a Gar Saxon Tarkin Twin Sons deck being nuts.
That'd be sick.
Be pretty cool.
Yeah, it'd be cool.
Yeah, I was gonna say too, like some of the upgrades, like the blaster and snapshot reflexes, like you're only getting extra value if they stick on. They're still like you know, like a spell. Like they're still like a surprise strike or first, you know,
right.
A shoot first. So like it's not the end of the world if they get binned.
And they're cheap. And like the gun especially comes out
and
of
action
your resource
cheap,
row. So
yeah. So stuff like that is good. Steve, from a draft perspective, I mean, I know we haven't seen the whole set, but like when you see a card like this, like how do you evaluate it?
I think that's he's going to be really strong in drafts. You know, like Mike said, there's a lot of units that are already coming to play upgraded, so it's kind of like a free bonus right there. And then the big thing is when you flip him, just having the card advantage of being able to play upgrades and getting him back that turn, I think it's going to, he'll be a lot better. I don't think he's that great, to be honest, in constructed. But I think he's going to be a bomb in draft.
Yeah, my worry about him in constructed is that like he's good on his, like he's not even that good as a unit and he comes out late. So like you're really playing it for the non-flip side and you're not gaining a lot by flipping him. Unless you're like fully suiting him up and then like what have you been doing for the last five turns or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's my only hesitation.
Yeah. My idea with that is like you got to really press them and then you flip him and blaster him. And that's like if they kill him, then you just get to blaster whoever lives.
Finisher.
And you're probably going to get there on the next turn. But
all right.
Yeah. Cad Bane kind of hurts the shield. Oh, yeah.
Speaking of Bane. This guy's pretty nuts. Comes out at 6. He's got raid 2. So he's big a 2/8 that hits for 4/8, and when you play an underworld card, you may choose an opponent. If you do an opponent choose a unit they control, and then when he's a leader, it deals 1 damage. But when he's flipped, it's 2 damage. That's when it triggers when you play an underworld card. So we have an underworld bounty hunter with a triggered leader ability, which you know we see in Boba Fett.
On the hierarchy.
One of the things we just shouted out Boba Fett for being really strong. Mm-hmm. This guy comes out a turn later, but his stats are arguably better. I mean, he's got the bigger booty. He does not die to a steadfast battalion or don't get cocky. He only deals 2 back when you attack him, but if he attacks you, he's hitting for 4.
And also, you know, he would look really good with a mustache. So shout out to Cad Bane. We're going to draw some mustaches on him.
His mouth and his nose are like more connected than a human. I don't see any mustache room.
No, we can make
on
it
a
happen.
Duros, but we maybe.
We need a good card. We need a good card to do like custom alters for like a mustache, though. Like it might not be Cad, but there has to be a leader that's like zoomed in. Maybe Luke or something.
Figure that out, and I'll do the
board. Do that.
Who would be Cad Bane in our like you know alternate KTOD spoof art thing that I'm kind of cooking up? Mm. I know we're supposed to talk about the card, but I really want to just say like would I want to see like Mike with the blaster and the hat on.
I would take Cad Bane. I freaking love Cad Bane. He's one of my all time favorite
what we
Star Wars characters.
He's great.
He's Clone Wars.
Yeah. As a card though, I do think he's really good, but the biggest problem I have with him is if you're gonna be playing a yellow leader, why are you not just not playing Boba?
That's
like it kind of always circles right back to that.
When I go build the Cad Bane deck, and I've done it a couple times and haven't saved any of them because every time I do, I'm like, this feels way too fair. I wish I was just playing Boba Fett. And that seems to be how I feel about a lot of things. That's how I felt yesterday at the store showdown that I didn't do well at. And I was just like, anytime I'm playing anything else, I'm like, I should just be playing Boba Fett.
Yeah, I think I played like a game, I forget who it was against. But I was like, wait, why am I not untapping resources?
Yeah,
like,
the untapping is so good.
Like, anyway. Waylay
into, over. Like, playing a Greedo? Like, how do they
yeah, like, so cards like Waylay just aren't as good. Like, boss isn't as
and
good.
And that's the thing.
I think he's powerful.
We think Waylay is good, but in the end, like, when it's not in Boba Fett, it's far less good. So I do think he's powerful, and I think, like, Relentless Pursuit, like, I was talking to Wu about it the other day, and I think Relentless Pursuit is way better than I originally gave it credit for.
Oh yeah.
And like having a leader with Bounty Hunter is going to make that card busted, and it's going to make these Bounty Hunter leaders busted. And like trust me, I do think it's better with Boba, but this Cad Bane damage trigger is really good. Like it clears the way for like your whole board, and like there's so many cheap underworld cards with things like McClunky, even if you don't have one to play, like if it's like one of those turns, like you've already built your board and you want to play an event, like McClunky for 1, or if you have Jabba out for free to be able to recur a Greedo or a Bazine or something cheap to also trigger this, and like not even have to worry about like attacking into units heavily because like you're just able to clean up the board so easily when they're pinging their guys. And because it comes online immediately, like you're not going to face too many board states where they have like a million guys and it doesn't matter who get pinged for them. Like, you get to just turn one.
Yeah, he gets to kill. I mean, with Tarkintown, you get to kill their turn one play if you just, or pass. But, like,
and God forbid they play a Greedo.
Yeah, true. Yeah, good point. But I think, like, that's his advantage. But then, like, what is he doing on, like, the turns, like, three and four, where Boba can just start, you know, putting more bulk into the board? And then you're kind of like, all right, I've used my Tarkintown. They've still got their ECL or something along those lines. And
yeah, I would imagine that Tarkintown can get you pretty far ahead, but then it doesn't counter.
But
the
then
ECL.
What? Yeah,
he needs like an engine, I think. Like, that's the thing. Like, I think he can be like an aggro crusher. Like, he can do some really cool.
Return something to your hand.
And that's McClunky.
That's McClunky. Yeah.
Yeah.
So no, like, is that the one that lets you replay it? I thought it was.
Oh, that's it's a double yellow card. So you could play it in mono yellow.
Is it double yellow?
Yeah,
that would trigger two for two. And that's really good as well. It's just like, I think what Justin's saying is like, you can do the engine, but like, are you pushing, like, are you able to do it?
How far ahead are you getting?
And like, yeah, like what does it look like after you do that? Okay, like, you've gotten a few cheap units, you killed their thing, you're up, you're certainly will be up a unit. But then it's like, okay, you're not super aggressive to be able to continue to push that advantage. And say, like, a card like a, and obviously, like, they can play cap removal.
Yeah.
Like, opponent plays, like, a unit Boba Fett. Or, you know, the Sabine deck plays that new 1/5. Or the blue-white decks play, like, a Yoda. And then it's, like, or Kenan. And it's.
Bossk
you know
kills
what I
a
mean?
Lot more things with this guy, which is
pretty. Yeah, I mean, Bossk is good, too. But he's, like, you know, he's coming out. Maybe you're green to be like, well, you're not green if you're using Tarkintown and you're, you know, Bosca's coming out on turn four. It just seems a little bit stiff in the mid game. But I could be wrong. It could be playing like a bunch of units. One thing I think was a missed opportunity is like, this would have been really, certainly broken. Maybe good they didn't do it, but like, if it wasn't once per turn, if you could actually just like play a lot of little guys, like there isn't really I think even the Sabine decks went for like a more like curve. Towards the, you know, as they became more competitive, like, it'd be nice to see a deck with like, you know, 18 one drops or something like that.
Yeah, I think it would have been too busted to do it for free as many turns,
right.
You know, but like, maybe the first
one's
free,
action or
and
something.
Then maybe the first one's free and the second one you have to like pay one for,
right,
or something.
I mean, his flip, like, dealing the two damage, like, it's not the same, but like, you know, Vader caught like Vader on 7, right, one more power, but like attacks for 5 and pings, like, he has some good, there is some good stuff with CAD. I just think like, you could take all your time kind of like dirtling and like out tempoing them and pinging stuff, but like, when you get to 6 resources, like, Boba has fire spray that comes to play on tap, like, where is your end game? Like,
where's your end game?
If even if we had like a evil droid, like a C-3PO, you know, like something that kind of like fueled the fire. Well, I don't know what that bad droid is. You know, the one that looks
triple
like a trash
zero.
Can. Triple zero. Like, let's get triple zero in
it
there.
It is an evil C-3PO.
Yeah, let's get some kind of engine, and then I think it would push it over the top. So I'm going to say good in premiere. I think it's going to be broken in draft. I think it's going to be another good leader.
Well, his ship directly counters fire spray too. It kills fire spray.
It doesn't play ready though.
Yeah, but it exhausts. It exhausts the fire spray, right? Doesn't it exhaust on play?
Yeah.
You have to exhaust something else, but yeah.
Oh, okay.
He could, yeah.
You have to bounce something else.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Or
I think it'll be on that grid you just showed of like 10 or 9 leaders. Like, it'll make that grid.
Gotcha.
You know, he's gonna be played. You're gonna see CAD in.
But we have a lot of cards left. Too. There could be something insane that comes up.
You're gonna see good players playing this at real events.
Right. Yep. 100%. I'm gonna say good.
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 Good. Good. Good.
Good.
All right, Fenrau, new blue 6 drop, neutral blue.
Everyone do it.
two guys in a row Mexican with the double up. Guns. When you play an upgrade from your hand, it costs 2 less. So when played, you may play an upgrade from your hand and it costs 2 less. And when you play an upgrade to this unit, give an enemy unit -2/-2 for the phase. So this is a 6 drop. You know, one of the things about high cost cards that people have had a problem with is that they don't do enough to affect the board. And this guy, depending on what you play on him, like a legal authority, can certainly affect the board pretty easily. So he can kill something. He can neuter something. We still have to find out. I don't know if this works, but you could play legal authority to make something smaller and then steal it. I'm not sure if that's going to work. I'm guessing the way I think is no, but
yes.
I could be wrong.
Yeah, you said
when
no.
When played, when you play.
When you play and upgrade on this unit. And I'm not sure like if when played happens first.
Target.
I just don't know. We'll just have to wait and find out. But anyway, you can build a bomb guy. You can play an upgrade that does something like steal guy or deal damage to something. Like if there's something akin to a Vader's lightsaber that you can add. You just get to play the dark saber on this guy for two, which is pretty bonkers. Because he's a Mandalorian, so he seems good with a lot of potential. I don't know if he'll ever be good enough because, like, I don't know if upgrades will ever be good enough to, like, be really competitive. But he seems like an absolute bomb in draft, like a bomb uncommon you would want to hit.
Yeah, bomb uncommon in draft. Context will be key, but on the face of the power level, solid. Like,
solid
for
yeah.
six, you get a unit, you get an upgrade, and you affect the board pretty good.
Yeah,
so yeah, it just kind of depends on, like, you know, how much bounce, hate, whatever, like what can you pair with him, like the legal authority thing or whatever.
Yeah, I think, I mean, Blue's got a lot of those two cost upgrades, like protector and devotion card, and even those ones are reasonable on it. It's a card that theoretically can kill two things.
Which
is always nice, but when you have to have two cards in hand, I could see discard being kind of tough against him. We've seen some strong discard stuff out of red, so, like, you know, how do you have it exactly what you want? You know, keep the upgrade and keep this unit in your hand and your resourcing on six. But I mean, you're probably
One thing that I think my brain kind of cut out by, like, comparing the when played to when played on this unit, you don't have to play the upgrade on Fenn. You can play it on anything. So you could just play the Darksaber for two on something else, or you could play the Devotion on something else. And
yeah, that's interesting.
That tempo.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be tapped or whatever. That's a good point.
Yeah, you could, like, put it on, like, Iden.
Right.
Yeah.
Or, like, Gar Saxon. I guess that's...
Also, like, triggers Mandalorian, too. So, like, sometimes... When I've been playing Mando, like, you, like the six drops, even like the legendary Mando have been kind of like, yeah, he's a Sentinel, but they could bounce him whenever. Like, at least here, it's like, I get my guy, I get my tap effect, and maybe I kill somebody. Like, that would feel really good. That'd be like doing a bunch.
Yeah, it seems actually pretty busted in Mando to be able to get your guy and suit something up and hopefully, like, attack for more damage or whatever while you're tapping.
Yeah. And in that deck, I'm doing the, like, C-3PO heavy two drop suite. So that, like,
you gotta
have
when
I see
cards.
The two, it's like...
Yeah, everything's twos
and
sixes.
I actually, now that I realize that the upgrade can go on anybody, I like this guy a lot more. And I already thought
it's a lot
good.
Better. Yeah.
Yeah. I would say in the high end of the good.
Yeah, good with a lot of potential.
Broken in limited.
A lot of potential. Like, you're gonna want to stare at this guy for a bit with your upgrades.
Yeah, I would imagine this is, like, a pretty common pick one, pack one.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, limited. Yeah.
What do you think, Stevie?
Yeah. I mean, it'll be interesting to see, especially it'll be curious to see how they format the draft, because if it's all set two, then you don't really have to worry about Waylay, you know? So not knowing there's no Waylay.
There are
just
there
like
there
the
are
Rebel
Waylays, though.
Are there?
Oh, are they putting Waylay in set two, or do you mean the Rebel?
No,
thing?
I mean, there's a hero one.
Hero one, yeah.
Yeah, and then there's the, I guess it's not a Waylay, but I count like, the Relentless Pursuit Capture one as kind of
along those lines. Okay. Yeah,
but still less so you have to worry about.
The upgrades aren't getting that much better as I was thinking. But like, I mean, the draft I played yesterday, I got waylaid like three times, and it's just like, it's just annoying.
Yeah,
waylay is annoying.
Hold the card.
Yeah, I like this for Gar too. Like you said, like put the upgrade on Gar, and then it is protected from. Obviously, you can't do a lot of things to leaders, but even if they are able to figure it out, you get it back in hand.
Not a combo with snapshot reflexes. Just so everyone knows.
What do you mean?
Not on himself, but you could snapshot somebody else.
You could snapshot someone else, but people were saying, like, oh, you could attack right away with snapshot. Not recognizing.
Yeah, people really struggle with the whole come into play tapped thing.
C-I-P-T.
Whatever. Fenrau, one of the most busted units in X-Wing, so I would expect him to be kind of strong.
Oh, cool.
In fact, they made him twice, and he was good in both Scum and Rebel.
The unit's so nice they made it twice.
I almost didn't include him because I think he's so broken, but I figured we might as well just announce to the world our feelings. I think Ambush Overwhelm is broken on a 7-6-7 drop. Like, those stats are nuts. Yeah. And then you can even just not make him take damage. If you want, you could give the damage to another underworld unit.
And he's a rare?
And he's just a regular.
Yeah, only a rare.
Yeah.
Oh. Any deck that you were like, oh, I don't want to buy Vaders for $300, so I'm not going to play this deck. Now you just have this guy instead. And, like, does he auto-replace Vader and Boba Fett? I don't think so, but it's close. If you have enough underworld stuff, you might. Like, if underworld stuff goes away.
It's sick that we get that question so much about, like, oh, I just couldn't spring for Vaders. And now we have, like, the perfect one-to-one. You know what I mean? Like, play him and make your deck a little more underworldy. I also like to see more green force unit. So,
yeah.
Like, yeah, he seems great.
You need to use that ability. Like, you can just...
Yeah,
there's so many things he's gonna kill and not die back. So
ambush overwhelm is just gross.
Ambush overwhelm is great. I also think, like, just change, like, a deck. There's the Vader, like, oh, which one's better thing, but now with like, you could do six and always have one of these guys come out and just do like the removal thing, and you're always playing a Maul or Vader.
Yeah,
and then like you're like, okay, the game's gonna start on. I mean, you play resupply in that deck clearly, but like the game's gonna start with, you know, me playing one of those guys and really kind of. That's my game plan, like slowing the game down a bit. So that's one thing where I think it's kind of cool that it's not necessarily tension with Vader, and maybe you want to play four and like you do like 3-1 or something like that. But then the other side of it is just how easy it is to set up like six damage with his overwhelm ability.
Yep.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're able to play overwhelming barrage and like leave something or like
dangling
or just all those times when you violent just can't game. Kill multiple things, right?
Yeah.
And that's why I'm thinking. Like, the six damage part is the part where I'm like, maybe he is always better than Vader. If, like, because, like, you know, Boba Fett does want to close out the game quickly against a lot of matchups. Right. And this
just that's what I was going to say.
And it one of the biggest things you from having is to that, play. Yeah. Sorry. Like, you don't have to play, like, you don't have to, like, put enough villain cards in your deck now with Vader. Like, you can just play this guy.
One of the biggest things we found with, like, Boba is, like, when to flip the switch from, like, I'm the control to like, they have to deal with me ending the game. And like, you know, when I lost to Boba yesterday in the top four, like surprise strikes and fire sprays, like that does a lot of damage fast. And now you add Maul to the equation. Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
They can just end the game like that.
Yeah,
so
I think also anything down is a liability.
His ability with like all the shielded underworld guys is pretty cool too. Like, it's not like you're just killing your own guy or like damn, you're actually like okay, I'll trade a shield with the 1/3 that like Vendilion clicks a card or like a crafty or something, and now all of a sudden it's like he's just turning himself into almost like a Han,
right? Yeah,
like the unit, the 7-cost Han.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no, he's great.
And that's a great point you make about not even have to use the ability. Like, I'm thinking, like, you know, like that Vader deck I played, like, Piet in this guy. Or you don't need Piet, but like, just like the ability for him to come in and finish the game is kind of
Piet built in, bro.
I know, that was a goof.
Yeah, I think he's broken. And when I start testing Green Boba in set two, I'm just going to play, like, probably 3 Maul, 1 Vader. But I do
like sideboard option.
Vader in green yellow last set, like, isn't the most broken. Like, we found like the blue pairing was really good, or like, you know,
grabbing a sentinel and good,
but like,
I mean, I played cell block guard in green Vader for a long time just to have one to pull.
Yeah. So I'm saying, like, it could be just you want 3-1 or something like that.
Yeah, it's really underwhelming to like play a SLT off of Vader. Like, you want to hit that 7th Fleet Defender or like maybe a seasoned shore trooper, but like those fell out of favor pretty quickly.
Whereas Maul, it's just gonna so I would say broken on Maul. You don't need Piet, he's got a built-in Piet. That was a goof.
All right, Cobb Vanth, 3-drop neutral green fringe official, 3/2, so he does turn on Emperor's Royal Guards, which is pretty interesting.
Ooh.
When defeated, search the top 10 cards of your deck for a unit that cost 2 or less and discard it. For this phase, you may play that card for free from your discard pile. Actually, that makes it even more interesting that he's an official now. Because you could play him with Palpatine, then he gets the other official if they were to somehow like take him out and turn it on.
Mike, this should be your art. This is the tank top I was talking about. This is the tank top armor. This is perfect. Look at you. Don't have the beard today, but I could see a Mike Cobb Vanth.
Well, Steve knows, like, when you went with me when I was going to get my sleeve, right? I was thinking about getting Boba Fett's armor as my half sleeve when I was going to get a tattoo, and then found out I was having a kid like 2 hours later and never booked the appointment. I mean, this is cool. I think this card's good. I know Justin was really high on this card, which is why I wanted to include it and see what he thought.
Yeah, I think this card. So with all the like power cards, we're always like good, bad, broken. I'm always like, we say like the best cards are broken, but like to me, broken is like when you're talking about like a banning type of thing where you're like, this card is just breaks like a rule of the game.
Yeah.
And I think this guy's absolutely one of the first ones we've seen that just opens up that avenue. Like, there's so many decks that it's like try to one for one you. So like if you think about like all the villain control decks, like this card is so good, almost like potentially so powerful that like he actually like just pushes those decks out of the equation. Because they can't just like removal, and then have their like two for one themselves the turn your leader comes out. But that's fine because they've got like such a better top end, they're eventually gonna get you. Like this card, like the two drop cards are strong. Both villain and control have good two drops. You know, like A-Wing, you can think about like crafties and probe droid. There's enough power there. Kylo's tie, it's not just a ground unit. You can get the officials.
Yeah.
You get some like regional governors, like really interesting, especially like later in the game.
Yeah.
His stats are decent, but like just the ability to like get another card. Like if you think about all the card games we've played, like cards that get other cards are like so good. Like thinking about back to like the versus system game where like the Olipet card and like just all these like little things that Dr. Light like came to mind. So I think this guy's broken. And like you think about like if you play him once, like okay, you're up a unit. But like, imagine playing this guy twice in the context of a game. Imagine playing him with like the synergies that like there are. Like he has synergies like Heroic Sacrifice. Like you kill something, draw a card, get a unit. Like you're never gonna lose that game.
It's a lot of cards.
It's just a lot of cards. Like I think about like Boba Fett losing to like the Vader control decks, and now like imagine slamming this. Like imagine going like probe droid into this guy. It's gonna force control decks to probably like play more units because like they're gonna have to play stuff with like more than three defense, which they can obviously like Lieutenant Chilston and stuff like that. But then like you get to play, then your removal's turned on, like with your waylays and your like capture cards.
You like force them to fight on the ground and then you tempo them. Exactly. And their whole game is supposed to be something else. Because you can't one for one this card. Like they get ahead. You know what I mean?
You get ahead, and like the units that you're gonna continue to see good two drops. Like we like every color combination has some good two drops. Like the two drops aren't super, super powerful, but like you're gonna be able to get them. It's 10 cards, so like you're not gonna whiff very often.
No.
So you're gonna get like an A-Wing, you're gonna get like a Sabine unit, you're gonna get a Kylo's tie, a probe droid. Like those cards hit, like he basically replaces himself. It's like it's almost like those cards that die, like a Kitchen Finks, right? Like replaces himself with a kitchen thing.
Hey, I have a question. Did we ever figure out the frontline shuttle thing? Can you play it a second time? Like it says for this phase, you may play that card from your discard pile.
Yeah, like
can
you just card?
No, yeah, because it would say cards with that name. You see this with Kira's text. She specifically says like you can't play cards with that name. So a card is a card, and a card has a name. So you can only play that card from your discard pile. Cool.
That's a good thing to clear up because I'm sure people have that question for it.
No, it's not the same card. It would say, otherwise, it would say you can play cards with that name.
With that name.
So, like,
so the card is like the physical one copy or one instance, right? I don't know.
It'd be a one.
It's the same card.
If it's the one copy, it's the same card. It goes back and forth.
Right, yeah. It's the same copy. Yeah, sorry. I didn't understand what you were asking. If you got this guy and played and got the like the 2-drop 3-1 ambush and put it in there and killed someone, like, so you put it in your discard, then you play it for free, he kills someone. If you have, like, you can and then you could do it again.
Yeah, he's great with that.
So you can machine gun that guy, which is why I actually should have put him next.
So you can do it. So you can do it in Mahdi, you can do it frontline shuttle, you can do it with things like that.
Because it's for this phase, yeah. So anything.
Okay, yeah, okay.
So that's
what I thought.
Phase is a turn.
So to clarify, you can machine gun the ambush guy, or you could do, like, a crazy frontline shuttle thing.
Right.
Which means
Admiral Mahdi, Vader type thing.
U-Wing in this guy is also kind of insane, right?
You could do infinite Mahdis, right? And I guess like that was the point I was going to make is that like if there's a broken combo that centers around a 2-drop, Like, yeah, this gives you six of that guy. So, and makes it just easier to find the second one if it's something like Mahdi, where, yeah, like, you ambush this guy in, so he kills something and dies, and you just know he's coming out. But, like, yeah, if you have, yeah, this guy in Green Vader, like, you have him on board the turn you flip Vader, then, like, yeah, you could, like...
Yeah, it's still 10 just... cards. You'd have to hit them. Like, it's not guaranteed you're going to hit the whatever, but it's still insane. But if you can play Mahdi for free
for the whole turn,
you just reset Vader or frontline shuttle. Even if it's only, even if, like, you play both and, like, okay, shuttle doesn't win you the game, but it clears the whole.
Has this been talked about? I don't follow, like, any of the spoiler channels.
People, but,
like,
mentioned frontline shuttle, but our, but sometimes our Discord just, it has so many people right now. Things move so quick that, like, I don't, yeah, know what happened.
Yeah, you
could just, you have to have the
enough resources.
No, but if you have Vader leader, he just kills Mahdi every time, and then you replay it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, they'd have to not kill.
So it's a one turn kill with Vader.
Yeah, we. Yeah.
If it works the way which it, the language makes sense, that for this phase you may play that card for me.
People will get. Yeah. People will talk in the comments about it,
yeah,
if it works.
Yeah, comment if we're wrong or this
card. I don't see how it could be, but
broken.
This card's getting
could be banned.
This card's getting banned. First ban.
Yeah, I think it's
like, delete this tape so then we can break it for Gen Con.
All right, now I got a deck too. All right, we're cutting the podcast short. I got to go build a deck. All right, we're at about an hour, so we should probably. I still
have. How many slides you got left?
Oh, boy. I have a bunch of spoilers here, but we don't have to do that many. We can skip through. All right, good, bad, broken. The Darksaber.
Good.
Very good.
Gross. That's a sick artwork, too. I will say that.
Yeah, finally some good art.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, it doesn't look too traced, but the Darksaber always looks good.
My, yeah, what's keeping me from broken is, like, it's expensive. It doesn't action cheat. So, like, mm-hmm, but I think it's, like, one of those really good. And I think it was, like, someone on our team, maybe even Jill. Like, it's a good, like, game one can win you the game, but, like, once they're prepared for it, probably need to chill on it. Yeah.
Board it out. But, like, it does its job. Not every card has to be good in every single turn of every single game. In a best of three.
That's a good
point. Like, you know, we talked about it a little bit in the Discord, but, like, you have so many actions on the Sabine flip turn. Like, think about all the ways people try and wait out the takedown. Like, they can't. So, like, you just, this is one of those things that they can't wait out, and you're going to swing for seven with Sabine. And if they can't deal with it right away, she's going to hit for 14. And if they do deal with it, it's probably going to take a bunch of cards or their whole turn, possibly two turns to do.
Yeah, I love
it. And, like, if they hold the takedown for Sabine, like, there's so much more Mandos now. You're like, okay, just play it on.
Play it on this guy.
Someone else.
Play it on a 1/5.
Play it on Sabine unit. Now she's a 6.
Is there a Mando Anthem, like, one that just constantly buffs, like, Dodonna for Mandos?
No.
Not yet.
Not yet, because that's another, like, another takedown code. All right.
Yeah.
Just in the essence of moving on. Crate Dragon, 9-drop, 10/10 overwhelm. When opponent plays a card, you may deal damage equal to that card's cost to their base or a ground unit they control. So if you play a ground unit against this thing, it can just, like, kill it. Or not necessarily kill it, but, like, you basically can't come to the ground against a Crate Dragon. You have to attack
really
it from
tough.
The sky.
Yeah.
This is a crazy 9-drop legendary.
Yeah.
This is one of the reasons why I don't want to buy a box, but I think it's a cool card.
I think it's good. I think, like, if you're playing a red ramp deck, like, you can pretty feasibly put this out in, like, your sideboard against control, you know? Like,
yeah, interesting how it fits into the control, like, puzzle.
Can't be super laser blasting it, but.
Yeah,
it's good, but it's easy to get rid of, like, Vanquish or, you know, whatever.
Any removal. Yeah. I mean, Vanquish would 5 damage to yourself. Like, does the damage matter that much? You know what I mean?
We'd have to see how the games go, yeah. Right. No one's
you
gonna
pee it with him, Matty.
What's that?
Can you pee it? You can pee it with him?
Oh, there you go. See, there we go. Now we're talking. All right, I'm on board. Definitely gonna try it. This is good.
Yeah.
Good
card. I think it's probably bad, but has a really high potential. Like, I don't think it'll be constructed playable, but it's one of those, like, Magic did this every set. I always had a red mythic that cost like 6, 7, or 8 that you could, like, you could build a deck around, but no one ever did.
Yeah.
So we just talked about the Cloud Rider. This is the cheapest ambush unit. Is this card bad? Is it broken because it's the cheapest? I don't think it's broken. I don't know if it's good, but it's probably fine.
People seem to really love this card. I mean, I get, like, okay, you're like, you kill something early. It's like a 2-mana removal that also presses the advantage, but, like, also just there's a lot of actions that kill it for free, and like not for free, but
well, it's gonna
you
die
know,
to
like a
whoever.
Vader.
Yeah. You know what I mean? It unless something gives it shoot. Like if you're ambushing, you're dying, right? One health.
I guess
it's
I'm
not surviving against
yeah.
much. Yeah.
I'm thinking like contacts with Cobb. That seems insane. But maybe that's more of a Cobb thing than of this thing. But it's still a tool. And then like, you could have like a nice Boba turn one where it's like Cloud Rider untap crafty or something. That feels pretty good.
Yeah, if they start ground like an aggro unit, or an aggro deck starting ground and you're Cobb and you include this guy, like being able to ambush Cobb, kill something, bring this guy in, kill something, and play him again. Like that's kind of interesting, but it's pretty narrow. They have to like, you have to have those. You have to be, like, be wanting to play a green yellow ECL deck that,
right?
Like, yeah, I don't know. And they start on the ground. I don't know. It's good. There's some play.
I guess like maybe it's actually like sort of better like in Boba like mid game, just to like they attack with a unit. Like, they say they had like they attack with a unit. You play this, kill the other thing. Untap and play like a three drop. You know what I mean? Like on your turn four, your four resource turn, like the turn before the Boba turn. Like they've just got so like maybe it's like a Battlefield Marine or maybe it's like a Greedo and you just kill something, like you trade, and then they're sort of up against it because you use the action. So it's like a it's almost like a one mana removal because three is pretty high.
Yeah, I agree. With Boba Fett, it's like a one mana removal that, that lets you like curve out a little bit better. Also interesting that with Cad, this thing can kill four HP stuff, which is tough. Which you know, has been a struggle for decks. Mm-hmm. Obviously they need to only have one
that,
thing.
That
out to
ruling
pay.
With Cobb can't be right though, because if you think about it, this guy would just be able to completely kill everything on the ground.
I mean, on the face of the language,
I don't know how it couldn't be. It says for this phase, you may play that card from your discard pile for free.
Like imagine just being like, they've got like a great board and you're like, ECL Cobb, sacrifice him, and then he's
this guy can machine gun.
That's what we're saying. Yeah, machine
gun. No, I know that, but that's
just resources to do it though.
No, it's
free. He does it for free.
That's why we think he could be banned. They could just, you know what they could do though? They could have a, they could just set in the sub rules like, when you know when you play a card for free, it's only once per phase. Or if it's limited to once per phase, then
if they need to, they can easily fix this by being like, this card is itself when you play it and ceases to be the same card like when it's in the graveyard again.
All I would have to say is once per phase, you can play this card for free, but it doesn't say that.
The comments are all going to be about.
Yeah,
how whatever. We misinterpreted.
People yelling
Cobb.
At us.
You know what?
It's
people yelling at us about
good.
Our role.
Comment
sorry,
on
guys.
How wrong we are, please.
We
everyone,
have,
like, comment, subscribe.
We don't have PhDs in Cobb.
Yeah, sorry.
My so you don't need to know the rules. You don't need to know the rules to win games. So we know that.
True.
I like that, Mike. Look at you go.
Mustache life. I'm feeling emboldened.
Yes, sir.
All right. Six drop, Emphas Nest, 5/4 ambush. While a friendly unit, including this one, is attacking using ambush, the defender gets -3/-0. And see, they do that bullshit, like, including this one. Like, yes, we're spoon-feeding you how the rules work. And they didn't do that for Cobb, so I think, like, it's pretty clear. But
and people still don't know how the rules work?
I know. So I don't hate that. I know some people are really high on it, but for 6 cost, 5/4, I know you get to, like, you know, disarm them or whatever with the -3.
Like a mini-Han.
Yeah. But it's... it's a little underwhelming for 6. I get the same stats, you know, on 5 with Steadfast Lackey. And I don't know that the -3/-0 matters as much to me. Like, I don't know if I'm keeping a 5/4 out is really going to change my life. But
I like it with, obviously, Boba Leader, right? Like, it's statted there up that. I get 6.
And Cad.
Well, no, Hero Boba this time.
Oh yeah, with Hero Boba it's still 6. With Cad it
six.
Pings.
You have to go yellow though.
That'd be a weird deck. Hero
seems
Boba good. Yellow.
It seems good, doesn't seem.
It's just like ambush.
I think people are looking
at
yellow for him because of the ambush units and because of the Boba Fett armor, but
it's ambush dot deck.
This seems fine, but I think I'm lower on it than most.
I think it's broken in draft, and I don't think I think power level, good context though, probably not getting played.
Yeah, the 6s are just so good too. Like, there's
so
the thing. Like, the opportunity cost It is hard.
Art's cool.
It's kind of a neat,
the
like,
UK Game Expo mat.
Yeah.
It's kind of neat that, like, Han is the Seven Cause Han, like, kind of, like, that guy just has, like, straight up first strike. And this guy kind of does. And they're, you know, obviously they were linked, like, and Fistness got, like, backed by Han with,
oh,
like,
yeah,
you know, all the Colaxium, whatever. So it's kind of like a neat little flavor.
Yeah.
All right. Last card. The card that broke the
card
game.
That ended the game.
Everyone's upset about Rivals Fall defeat a unit.
Oh, my goodness. Get over it.
I think this card is completely
fine. Yeah. Is our podcast ending? Is the K2D no more?
Yeah. The game. I know.
Why? Box it up, guys.
Because
they think it's like gonna,
because you can kill
the game's
leaders.
Over now.
It's like straight up kill a unit.
Like now the, you know, like, oh, everything's bad because it dies to Doomblade. Like,
yeah. Because before it was like, oh, dies to takedown, dies to open fire. It's like, okay,
now
there's
people,
ways to interact with the game. Like we saw with Sabine. Oh, they're holding four up and just like waiting there. Okay, play a four drop. If they pass, claim, kill them.
Right,
I think
right.
People really liked being able to like build.
Suit up your
build
leader.
Super yeah. leaders and build strategies around their leaders, and now they're not going
to
be able to.
You
do
have
that.
Ways to interact. Have them discard. There's so much more discard now in the game.
It just is.
Play
it
is.
It's I
okay.
think it's necessary with all the upgrades in the set for that exact same reason.
Spirit does not like to see this card. I will say that.
Sure, but like Spirit, Chewbacca. Chewbacca, like.
Yeah, Chewbacca, finally. It hurts. But like, you can also play like. It's a freaking spark. You can play Regional Governor. You can.
Yeah, you can play Regional Governor.
Do a million
Governor.
Other things. Like.
I think this card's. I think this card's good, but I don't think it's.
Yeah,
it's gonna be like a 1-1, one in the main deck, one in the sideboard.
Yeah, you can't play a 3 main deck or anything.
Yeah,
so.
What are you gonna do? Okay, you'll just die. It's fine. It's okay.
Just die. Like,
all right, we're gonna bang out a couple Patreon questions. So when we did this a month ago, we had 581, and then 2 weeks ago we had 733. We've seen the first like real slowdown over 2 weeks. Where we're at 781. But if you had told me that since March 29th, we'd have almost 800 subscribers, I would have laughed in your face. I didn't think that we would grow this fast.
If so we have a spike in membership, does that mean we have to keep the mustaches?
Keep the mustache. How's this? If our Patreon, if we get 10 new patrons today,
if we get 19, if we get 8, if we get 800. I'm not gonna 10 is 2. We always get 10.
Okay. No. If we get to 800 patrons by the end of the day, you guys gotta keep it for going to work on Monday.
Sure.
What?
I don't know about
Come
that.
On.
Well, I don't know if I can do that.
No, you have to do it. It's the bro code.
The bro code.
It's one day.
I operate on different bro codes.
It's one day.
I work with kids. That's all I'm gonna say. Oh, and then,
all I'm saying
okay.
is, oh yeah, show
I
that.
I wanted to show off our coin. This is the coin we had excited. Made for our Patreon subscribers. It's a galactic credit. Oh, it's kind of blurry. It's because I don't have no autofocus on.
And it's an actual coin.
It's
not
an
like
actual
plastic.
Coin. It's metal.
I got one too.
It's the same. If you do any metal fab tokens,
shout
out to Metal Fab. These are insane.
Yeah, shout out to B-Flow for Metal Fab. It's the same size as his initiative tokens. So if you bought like a plastic case or you 3D printed a case for your Metal Fab tokens, it'll fit perfectly in there. And it's the Death Star on one side and Tarkin on the other side. Shout out to Steve for helping me design this. My idea was that it would look like a Republic credit. I think it does. It looks like a coin. It's got the Orbish writing. It's got the Imperial logo. I know it's really blurry. Sorry.
Just
and then the Death Star on the back just seemed like the perfect. Like this is what the Emperor would put on the back. Yeah.
Now, how do you get those?
So if you are a subscriber at the Kashyyyk Operative tier of our Patreon for 3 full months, so that means you, so the people who subscribed on March 29th, our first day. They will get it at the end of June. In fact, I'll be giving these out at Gen Con to those people who will be at Gen Con. And then
mailing them out to the non-Gen Conners.
Yep. And you don't have the gray t-shirt? Hold on. Talk amongst yourselves for a second.
Then we also have like a cool...
Same logo. We've got different color schemes.
Yeah.
But,
it's a gray t-shirt. It's probably... Honestly, like, I like these ones we have for our team, but I think the gray one's my favorite.
I want to get
some soup
one.
On it, so I had to throw it in the wash.
Yeah, I want a gray as well.
Yeah. How do I get a great t-shirt, Mike?
We've been members for 3 months.
Yeah, January.
No, but I think that we're going to keep doing
January.
This stuff.
Crazy.
Shout out to Mike and Steve for the designs. And Maddie and I got like the crafting ideas on some of these things too. We're gonna.
The only thing I contributed was like I want the O to be something, but you killed it. Yeah, you guys.
The evolution of the logo was like
I know
both painstakingly done and also like really
cool. Got to a really. Yeah.
I was looking at some of the pin posts and saw like the graffiti.
Yeah.
Artwork we originally had, and it's just like, oh man, we worked out so much better.
Still, is so much better. But so, I still like one of them for like an alt art later. Like I think it was like the lowercase cursive one. I think that would make like a really cool. Like,
we will do. We'll continue to do stuff. Like this is not the first wave, but this is so exciting. Yeah. And then we're gonna do mustaches with 800 members. It's just like really great.
No, I'm shaving my mustache.
3 full months subscribed, you get a T-shirt and a coin. I will mail it to you. International people might have to chip in on shipping. People might have to just pay shipping. I'm going to see. We have a lot to send out, and it'll be slow because it's basically
I'm sure we can figure something out, too. Like,
All right.
That being said, if there's any shipping gurus out there, holler at my boy.
Yeah. Oh, and if you live in a country and you – I mean, I'll post this in the Discord, but, like, if you live internationally, what I'm going to do is like I have friends in Australia who I can like send it to Aaron and he will make sure everyone in Australia gets
community
it.
Community-based.
It's a stealth move. Yeah. He's going to make sure everyone in the UK gets it. So like grassroots. I have people that I trust and we can all work together to get them to you as cheaply as possible for all parties involved. All right. Are there, this is from Clinician. Are there cards in set 1 that we should be picking up now with set 2 coming?
Command.
Anything we should be selling?
By command. I think it's pretty cheap right now and I think the card's good.
Sell everything.
I would say, like, if you don't have all of that run, Command Aggression, I would pick those up, too.
Force Lightning, I think, was still reasonably cheap.
I thought it was up to, like, 25 now.
Did it jump? Oh, okay. After my, little thing.
I'd say the cards to sell, I mean, you look at that mall, if you wanted to try to sell your Vaders. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily sell a ton. Because I think the power level of set 1 is still really strong with a lot of the high impact cards. But Vader would be a one that I'd look at maybe selling just because.
Yeah, I like
of,
that. And then eventually, like, the set 1 reprint is coming alongside set 3. And we know there's, like, no Imperial set 2, essentially. So, like, you could. I mean, depending on what. You know, I guess it doesn't have to be Imperial to play Vader, but you could go.
I still like Vader.
Vader's fine. I'm just. We're, you know, if we're specking. And saying, like, okay, for all of set 2, I can play Maul. And then when the set 1 re-release comes out, I'll be able to get Vader super cheap.
Yeah.
I can sell, you know, I don't know what they are now, but if they were still 100, you could, like, sell them for 100, pick them up for 40. It's not, like, much money, but if you were just, like, looking to invest into set 2, that would be one that you could do.
What you could do, and I think is a reasonably smart idea, is sell your showcases, sell your hyperspace foil legendaries.
If anyone wants to buy this showcase, I'll give it to you cheap.
The things that are like really spiking in price right now inevitably will go down because of like the reprint and nobody actually needs those cards right now.
Yeah. I'll sell this.
I think showcase is a good idea.
Cash. Hit me up. I agree with that.
All the wine.
I had another idea, but I forgot what I was going to say. I don't know. I don't ever really want to play blue control. I can't imagine a world where I do based on like the way tournaments have been going. So like if I was going to sell something personally, I would like dump my SLBs and Avengers and Vigilances and maybe not Vigilance, but the other two.
See, I just picked those up because I think that deck of obviously Cobb's going to be an issue for it. But I do think that villain control isn't necessarily going away. And like the evolution.
I agree with that. Yeah. I just mean, if it's something you know you're never going to play because you don't like that style of play, you don't like the way the end games have to be crafted in the mirror and like be real with yourself. I don't ever want to play this again.
That's a really good point.
You know, like don't we're have talking it just to have it because they are
before
hot.
We're talking before the showdown and I was like trying to play yellow Boba like Mike and I like, you know, some games I could pull it off and some games I was like, this feels like heart garbage in my hands and it was me. I knew it was me, but it was like
too with Sabine. It's like every time I try and play Sabine
in
that competitive environment,
Boba, I thought that was such a good call.
I wish I changed, but I had planned
I said it on the car ride up, play Green Boba.
I felt really good about Sabine. I had been winning all week with it and
I almost played Sabine,
but every
too.
Time it's I play so it good. In an event or something on the line, like I don't get there, so maybe it's just not for me. But when I play it against people on Carabas or TTS, like it just feels so good.
Yeah.
But I did think play against all mid-range decks yesterday, which like obviously is not ideal. Yeah. I just couldn't push damage, but
that's just one quick thing I wanted to bring up because I know we're getting long. Like playing competitive card games in tournaments is a process. Like you're gonna have everyone loses games. You're not gonna win every time. You know what I mean?
Yep. So, and you're gonna have a tournament.
Mike won a 1K, and then he had a bad showdown. I had, you know, I've had good ones, bad ones. Like it's all part of a process. You just move on. Like don't get bent out of shape.
I haven't lost for losing yet, bro.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm one.
Was yesterday deck lists?
No.
No.
I figured. This is pretty cash. Top forward.
But it was green Boba, yellow Boba, two Sabines, me and Vader, a Palp, mono blue, and something I don't remember, unfortunately. But that's seven of the eight.
All right, Ryan Warner, honest question. It does really seem villainy is getting getting some bangers for set two. What's your reaction to this? It seems like heroism isn't as strong as villainy to the point at this point in time. We do have 90 cards to go. This could change over time, but the current spoiler is not looking so hot. So, like, is
we're about to get a red
is
hero
the overall
leader
best and, villainy yeah. in heroism? Oh, what is your opinion? Okay, wants I yeah. So what's the best hero and what's villainy? I always thought villainy was better. So I don't think this is any new news to me. But
yeah, I mean Poe's really strong, and then I think Wrecker's really strong. I think you don't see all the cards yet. You look at Maul being incredibly strong on the other side. I don't totally see it as like super skewed, like 80% to 20%. You know what I mean? Like, I think if we get a few solid hero cards this week, it'll even out pretty well.
Yeah. Especially like, you don't need gotten a hero red ship yet.
Exactly. Like,
so much shit to come back.
And you don't need like 10 new cards to make some of these decks really powerful. Like, if you look at like Sabine's already getting Poe, Wrecker, and maybe the Darksaber in the green version. Well, any version, actually, would attack. And, like, even cards like the Smuggle Falcon is, like, I think that card's, like, very reasonable. And
all it takes is one green Squadron A-Wing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it does seem like Hero all it takes has is a lot one of card. Cards. I mean, maybe the
I think
leaders
better,
in Villain are better. But, like, you're right. You just need, like, nothing. Even Maul, I don't think, is on the level of what Poe and Wrecker can do. And then together. You know, so like,
yeah, they're the new crew. They heard about you're doing poorly at a store showdown with Sabine, and they were like, "Hold on, we're there for you, buddy.
We're coming. The reinforcements are coming.
Your box is going to be three of each."
Chrono is saying that Gandork said that you can only play the card once with Cobb, but like,
okay,
I don't know.
Then they'd have to make a special ruling.
Real
time on the face of the card.
I think they can just say that it's. Once it is no longer the card when it moves phase when it moves locations, it's no longer that card.
Best villainy card.
It's good even if you can't machine gun
card.
I think Poe.
Yeah, I like Poe, but I mean, in a vacuum, Poe's so busty to so many things. But my vote is Wrecker. Wrecker's insane.
Wrecker's also pretty good.
Yeah,
good news. Good news. You can play.
Which set one leader you think will win the most improved award with the addition of set two? This is from Caliber Nick, our local buddy.
That's a good
Chewy
question.
Baby. Get them Wookiees out there.
Who's gonna go better? It won't be Leia.
No, probably Han. To be honest with you, I think.
Yeah, Han's already good. Is the problem of the most improved? You know what I mean? But like, maybe if he starts being able to beat Boba.
Is it Boba, which is like actually crazy? Boba.
I don't think Boba can improve.
Yeah,
you can't like the.
No, you can. You definitely can improve.
You can, but his growth, his growth percentage will never be as high, right?
Yeah.
Like if we're looking at his growth numbers,
it would have to be like
maybe
he sets the tone. Yeah. Like, I don't know.
He can just be Secretariat and like be trotting
but
around.
But if he's a 99 and he goes to 100, like.
I'm more thinking of like not like capped. I'm saying like he's got like a 5-point lead and then he's gonna have a 25.
Oh, you know who it's probably gonna be is like Palp.
Maybe, but there's no Empire stuff. I kind of like Steve's call because Han is actually Underworld, so maybe can take advantage of some of these Underworld things.
If Han goes from like I'm gate kept by Boba, but if I don't see Boba,
two things. One, I'm really hoping it's Han because my showcase will spike. Two, I think it'll be interesting with all the smuggle cards to be able to manipulate your resource row with his game text.
Yeah, I think that's
going to
be cool.
That could actually have like a big advantage for him in the late game.
I agree.
That Marauder
about,
card.
GI.
Too. Oh,
G-I.
Yeah, it's definitely G-I.
Yeah,
it's G-I. Definitely G-I.
Actually, yeah, G-I. He's got it. Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
We G-I's just probably the one, but wasn't... I agree. Like,
they just made so many three attack villain guys that are bonkers.
Yeah, it's definitely G-I. But I do think Han's gonna be good. That Marauder card is another. Going back to the last question too, it's another heroism card that's pretty strong.
Booyah.
Man, it feels kind of cool to play with your mustache,
dude. Keep it. Come on.
We're doing it. We're getting eight. Well, no, we don't know if we're doing
a beard. It feels like it's actually our boy Zach. It feels like we're in a weird set of weird period of time for store showdowns in the release set too. What is your focus among the two, and how are you approaching both? Either, I mean, this was a weird week because I wanted to work on set two, but I also like had the showdown, so I wanted to work on set one. I'm going to work on set one for a little bit longer because of the Discord and helping people win their last 2 weeks of showdowns. But I would like to be – I really hope the whole set gets spoiled soon because I really just want to be on set two.
Yeah. Sometimes the spoiler – like spoilers are fun, but like let's get it going. We need the big day. The day where all the things drop, like that needs to happen. Day. That's like such a fun day, and like it's been a while now. Like the sets
– that's when we get started. I was like – all those guys were at the event in Minnesota, all the other content creators, and I was like, guys, we're hopping on, we're creating our podcast today,
right?
Because they couldn't do it, and that was it.
Yeah, I would say like one way to do it is, you know, if you have showdowns and big things coming up, like obviously set one's a priority, and then if you need like a little break, play some set two and like hang out.
I've really been enjoying drafting, just so you don't have to really engage in either one of them. But that's kind of.
I wish there were more. This is like the perfect, but that's a great point. Like when you get to this period where like the meta is kind of like a little more known and you have to do like less work, that's the perfect time to like dig into draft because like you're still honing your skills. Like it's a lot of like the fundamentals are picked up in draft and then you're taking a break.
I've been spending a lot of time too trying to work out the outline for what a cube's going to look like.
Shout out, Steve's been designing his own cube for the KTOD, so we're gonna have a KTOD cube you know that we travel with and you know that we publish the list for cube. So people that's can sick. Yeah, Todd is already gonna have his cube for Gen Con.
Also see really quick, Yoda Killer has like a sit like a whole box. He's like a big cube guy and he has these like little individual deck boxes that you like put in packs. I'll link you to his picture. It's like a sick way to set up a cube that's like very organized.
I think it was Game Genic. I don't know, J-Rod bought him yesterday, but there was actually a product in the store that was being sold that are like physical packs that you put, like they're almost like sleeves for the pack. So like when you cube, you can, like, physically build packs.
Yeah, these were more like mini deck boxes, but I like that too.
Yeah, I mean, that seems like a lot of extra work to like put them in an additional thing.
But
it's kind of cool. You could have packs.
You could show up to an event with it pre-packed. So you.
That's like, what I'm saying. Yeah, you
may. You could like at the end of the cube, all hang out, shuffle together, and build the packs for next time. So like, there is some benefit to it too.
Yeah.
I will say like I love. I can't say that. I love the way I playtest now with the application I use to playtest, but it is like I can't even imagine if I would ever play Constructed if this game had Magic Arena because I would just draft. I don't even think I legitimately don't think I would ever play Constructed.
Drafting this game is so freaking good, and I cannot wait for like obviously like we'll have pack issues in set two, but like I'm just not gonna open, you know, 10 boxes or whatever. But like, yeah, drafting.
Drafting live next weekend. We got to pick a date.
Where?
I don't know. You're the one with the
packs. You're the one with the packs. We got to figure it out.
So we'll talk about this after, but if it can be, I'm solo parent next weekend, so I can get a babysitter. But like, if you make it a little easier on me, that'd be
cool. Yeah, let's do it up.
And then we have to record early in 2 weeks because 2 weeks from today, I will be in Spain.
That's nice.
España, something.
You know what looks? You know what looks great in Spain?
What's that?
Mustaches.
No. A mustache. Why not?
Yeah.
I'm kind of just look like.
You have that look though, Justin. You know, you can pull it off.
You should slick back your hair and then take a picture and like send it to Dad.
Yeah, I'm all white and I wear
put a gold chain on.
It's not happening.
Yeah, it's good with the chain.
I would do this every time. All right, we are at just about an hour and a half, so I know people have been asking for longer ones, and this is it. Yeah. I think we kept it moving.
Yeah, it was good.
All right. Cool. Yeah, it was good. Well, I've got a bunch of work to do to get this posted, so by my showcase.
All right. See you guys
later.
Later,
thanks for watching.